Okay, welcome back to the Tefillah Shiur. Believe it or not, the last Shiur on Tefillah that I gave was right before Hanukkah. And it was on Alanisim. That's what we're holding in Shemoneh Esrei. So it's right before Purim, so we'll continue with Alanisim. We didn't get too far last time. All we did was the first two words, Alanisim. So we still have a long way to go. But I'm actually going to take a step back. And go a little bit into a introduction to Alanisim. Especially the Alanisim for Purim. The B'nai Yisrael says that the Nusach of Alanisim for Purim has 68 words. And definitely no accident. And he says that the reason for this is because as opposed to the miracle of Hanukkah, our lives were not in danger. Our spirituality, our Torah life was in danger, but our physical lives were not in danger. Purim, our physical lives were in danger. That's why, that's how the Taz explains why on Hanukkah there is no mitzvah to eat a meal, whereas on Purim there is, because on Hanukkah our physical lives were not in danger. Our spiritual lives were saved, so we're supposed to celebrate through spirituality. We're supposed to celebrate through Halal V'Hoidah and lighting candles. On Purim, our physical lives were in danger, and our physical lives were saved, so we celebrate through physicality, which is through eating a meal. That's how the Taz explains why the difference between Hanukkah and Purim. But since our lives were spared, the numerical value of the word Chayim, Meches is 8, and Yud is 10, that's 18. Another Yud is another 10, that's 28. And then Mem is 40, that's 68. So the numerical value for the word Chaim is 68. And that's why the Alanisim for Purim has 68 words. Now, that is, says the B'nai Yisrael, if you do not say Al HaNiflois, there's a difference in Girsa, in the Nusach, there are people that do say Baal HaNiflois, people that don't say Baal HaNiflois. Arizal does not have Baal HaNiflois. B'nai Sosker himself gives reasons why we should say Baal HaNiflois. If we ever get there, we'll talk about it. But with Baal HaNiflois, says the B'nai Sosker, we have 90 words. 90, says the B'nai Yisrael, plays a significant role in 68. I'm not 90, I'm at 70. 60, 68, for an extra two words, it's 70. Right, so then we have, so 70 plays a role with Purim. He brings from, in the Yotzeres of Shabbos Zohar, it says, the Yotzeres were composed by Atana, by Eliezer HaKaliri. But it's all written in riddles. And he says the words, Tachlis Shivim Nitla Al Chamishim. He's talking about Haman. And it says, at the end of 70, he was hung on 50. So, there's a lot of raid. What does he mean? At the end of 70, he was hung on 50. So, they explain that from the pasuk Achra Dvarim Va'Eila Gidol HaMelech Achashverosh as Haman. From the pasuk, which says that Achashverosh made Haman that he raised him and made him important. Until the pasuk Va'Yitlu as Haman Al Ha'etz, until the pasuk that says that Haman was hung on a tree, there's 70 pesukim. So Tachlis Shivim, at the end of 70 Pesukim, Nitla Al Chamishim, he was hung on a tree of 50 Amos tall. So The reason for that is why. What's the significance of 70 psukim? So he says that if you look into the Megillah, you'll find that the first letters that were sent out to annihilate all the Jews on the 13th day of Nisan, on the 13th day of Adar, were sent out on Yud Gimel Nisan. That's what it says in the Megillah. Sent out on the 13th day of Nisan. The next letters that were sent out, that after Haman was hung, and the next letters that Ahasuerus had Esther and Mordechai sent out, that the Jews have the right to defend themselves, those were sent out on the 23rd day of Sivan. From the 13th day of Nisan to the 23rd day of Sivan, there are 70 days. So the entire Gzeira was 70 days. So the that's the significance of 70. And you see how 70 plays a role. There is, on Purim, you're supposed to drink wine until the secrets come out, right? Nechnes yayin yotza soid. Both yayin and soid are both, each one is gematria 70. Yayin is yud yud nun, which is 70, and soid is also, samach vav dalet is also 70. So 70 is a very important number when it comes to Purim, and that's why he said, that's why Alanism is, has 70 words. Another interpretation of why they, what it means when the Piyut says l'tachlis shivim nitlal chamishim, at the end of 70 he was hung on 50, is that the it means at the end of the 70 years of the Golus, the whole Achashverosh parsha was at the end of the 70th year of Golus Bavel. Now, on a deeper level, someone asked me today, so, what is the Avodah of Purim? The Avodah of Purim is to be Megala the Hester. Right? That's what the old Svarim say, Megillas Hester. Is to be Megala the Hester, to reveal that is concealed. If you look into the Sforum explained that if you look into the Megillah, the entire Nes of Purim, unlike any other of the miracles that we celebrate, was totally within nature. It was a sequence of events that was all within nature. The decree against the Jews, and then the king killing Vashti, marrying Esther, Bixam Aseres trying to plot against Achashverosh, Mordechai overhearing, reporting through Esther. The whole thing was just a whole sequence of events that could be attributed to nature, but if you look at the whole story, you're able to look back in hindsight and see the how the Rebbeinu Shlom orchestrated all, it's so obvious that this was all Hashgacha Pratis, that it was all divine providence. The Megillah, there's not once that Hashem's name is mentioned in the Megillah. But it's unnecessary. It's so obvious that the Rebbeinu Shlom orchestrated it that there's no need for Hashem's name to be mentioned. And so the Avodah of Purim, the Avodah that we're supposed to be involved with, the Segula of Purim, the magical property of Purim, is that the Koyach is given to each and every Yid to find godliness everywhere. To find godliness in the entire world where godliness is concealed, that is what Purim is about, especially to find the godliness within ourselves. Nechnes yain yotza soid, when the wine goes in and the secret comes out, the soid that we're supposed to be megala, that secret that we're supposed to be reveal is the godliness that's within ourselves, and that's why there's such tremendous simcha on Purim when a yid is able to access that elikus, the godliness, the neshama that's within ourselves, that's within others, that's within the bria. When we're able to see the neshama of the bria, the godliness that's in every aspect of creation, it reveals a new world to us. And when a yid accesses godliness, that just evokes tremendous simcha. That's what the Avodah of Purim is about. And you know, the Arizal says that Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim, right? That it's a day like Purim, indicating that Purim is greater than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is just like Purim, right? Yom Kippurim. Purim is greater. Why is Purim greater? Because on Yom Kippur, the Torah HaKadosh tells us to deny ourselves all types of physicality, eating and drinking and everything else that we're not supposed to do on Yom Kippur. We're supposed to access God, we're supposed to access the neshama that's within us. We're supposed to access the godliness that's within us. And the way we do that is by removing the layers of physicality that usually obstruct our vision of godliness. That's the avoid of Yom Kippurim. On Purim, the avoid is specifically through the physicality. On Yom Kippur, we're angels. On Purim, we're people that are greater than angels. Klal Yisrael is greater than Malach. We're able to access that godliness through all the physicality, to realize the godliness within the physicality. And that's much higher than the level of Yom Kippur, which is to remove the physicality in order to see the godliness. Chazal say that b'Toyrosa shel Reb Meir, in the Sefer Torah of Reb Meir, the Tana Reb Meir, it was written that Hashem clothed Adam and his wife with kosnos oir. Right? It says in the Torah, it says Hashem clothed them with kosnos oir, with garments of hide. In Reb Meir's Sefer Torah, it said kosnos oir with an aleph. Instead of oir with an ayin, it said oir with an aleph, that Hashem clothed them with garments of light. The Svarim HaKadoshim explain, some Sefer, that before the chet of Adam HaRishon, the light of godliness was evident, it was apparent in the entire Bria. It was through the chet of Adam HaRishon that there's a foreskin that covers over the entire Bria. That's why we can't see godliness. When we look at the Bria, that's why godliness is concealed. There's an ayin instead of an aleph. Instead of oir with an aleph, which is light, which represents the light of godliness, there's an oir with an ayin that conceals godliness throughout the Bria. And the avodah of a yid is to be able to look past the ayin and see the aleph, to look past the oir and see the oir, look past the hide and see the light. Amalek. Right, we're going to read this Shabbos, Pasha Zohar. So Zohar is Asher Osa Lecho Amalek. V'derech Maseis Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you? Asher Korcha. Rashi says, Asher Korcha is Lashon Mikra. He happened upon you. So, happening is the Kippah of Amalek. Amalek is the one that tries to convince us that everything that happens in the world is coincidence. It's a mikra. It's coincidence. It's happening. That's the oyer. That's the oyer with an ayin. To conceal godliness. Not to realize that there is the oyer of Hashem is what's controlling everything. And everything is the Rabbeinu Shleilam. That's the klipa of Amalek. That's why Chazal say, Haman min ha-Torah min ayin. Where do we find Haman in the Torah? Answer Chazal, Hamin ha-Eitz, Hashet tzivisicha, levilti al-chov, hamin ha-chalta. Right? When Hashem says, did you eat from the tree I told you not to eat from? It's the chet of the Eitz Hadas, Hamin. Right? Chazal Darsh, and that word Hamin is the same letter as Haman. But the depth of what Chazal are telling us, where do we find the klipa of Haman, which is the klipa of Amalek? Where did this all begin? Where did it start? It started from Hamin ha-Eitz, Hashet tzivisicha, levilti al-chov, hamin. That's where it started. From the chet of the Eitz Hadas. That's when the oyer took over the Bria. And that's the significance of the ayin. The ayin is really the number, is the letter that represents Purim. It's the ayin of, instead of the aleph. That's how this week's parsha we're going to read. It begins with Vayikra. Right? Vayikra, if you look into the Sefer Torah, has a very small aleph. And without that aleph, it reads Vayikor, which means that it happened. But if with the aleph, it means, and he called. He called to him. When you don't see the aleph, when that little aleph is missing, it just seems like a happening. Just everything in the world seems like a Vayikor. It seems like Ashikarcha. But when we're able to see that Aleph Zidra, when we're able to see that little Aleph, the world becomes a calling instead of a happening. Everything that happens in the world becomes a calling. So Tachlis Shivim Nitla Al Chamishim. When the whole Tachlis, when the ayin is taken away, that's when that is when Haman is hung. The whole tachlis, what we're supposed to accomplish on Purim, is to get past that ayin to see the aleph. So, before. Before Hanukkah, we spoke about the first two words, Al HaNisim, and I'm not going to go over that again. We're going to go on to the next two words, Al HaPurkan. Now, I imagine that in Art Scroll, it probably says Al HaPurkan on redemption. The B'nai Yisoschar says that Purkan is the Targum, is the Aramaic word for Yeshua, for salvation. If you look into the Pasuk, Vayosha Hashem, and Hashem saved us, the Targum says, Uporak Hashem. Hashem's, the word saving in Aramaic is Purkan. Ve'ein Moshi Allah, right? In the pasuk, and there's nobody to save her. It says, "Bless the Parik Allah." There's nobody. The word Parik is to save in Aramaic. So, the Bnei Yisrael goes into why Chachamim established to use an Aramaic word here in Al HaNisim, referring to the Nes of Chanukah and Purim. And Bnei Yisrael teaches us something very fundamental about Yom Tovim in general and Chanukah and Purim specifically. He points out that we find that there are Yom Tovim only for specific, there are holidays for specific miracles, right? For Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's a Yom Tov. For Kabbalah Satoira, there's a Yom Tov. Shavuos, And then for Hanukkah, the Nes of Hanukkah, Chazal established a Yontif. For Purim, they established a Yontif. Then there are many miracles that there's no Yontif. There's no Yontif for the day the month started to fall. And there's no Yontif for the day that the water started coming out of a rock. And there's no Yontif for the salvation that we had from Sancheirev or from any of the other Sisra. There's the day that the sun stood still, and the day of Yahushua. There's no Yontif to commemorate those Nisim. So why is it that there's only Yom Tovim for specific miracles? For other miracles, there isn't. And he explains, and we find this concept in other Sfarim as well. Kedushas Levi brings it at great length, that Yom Tovim are not to commemorate miracles. That's not what Yom Tovim are for. Rather, when a miracle happens, it's because there's an illumination in heaven that descends to this world for Bnei Yisrael to benefit from it. Now, there are illuminations that are one-time illuminations, such as those of the time of Sancheirev, the time of Sisra, the time of Yeshua. Those are one-time illuminations. They don't repeat themselves ever. And so therefore, there's no Yontif. However, there are illuminations that repeat themselves annually at the same time that they originally happened. The miracle reoccurs, meaning that illumination descends to the world the same way it descended the first time. And that's why we have a Yontif on that day. Not because we're commemorating a miracle that happened back then. It's because it's happening again. And if we would prepare ourselves properly, we'd be able to tap into that. So, comes the Yontif of Pesach. Yetzias Mitzrayim happened every year at Tezvav Nisan. And we celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim every year at Tezvav Nisan. Every person, in every generation, every person is obligated to see themselves as if they're leaving Mitzrayim. Because we are leaving Mitzrayim. That's what happens every year on Tezvav Nisan. We're not commemorating Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not what we're doing. And Vav Sivan, every year there's a couple of Zatayr. If we would be Zaycha, we would hear the Kailas of Rakim. It's happening every year. And every year, every Yid can be Makabal the Torah anew on Vav Sivan, like one cannot do with the rest of the year. Throughout the generations, multitude of miracles have happened. But they were one-time miracles. We don't commemorate miracles. It's not what we do. We relive them. By the Nes of Chanukah, look into the Gemara and Shabbos of Chof Aleph. It relates to us what happened. And then it says, the Shana Acheres, the next year, Kavum Yomtiv Bahalavoida. They established that it should be a Yomtiv, and we should say Halal, we should say Alanisim. Why did they wait a year? Why didn't they establish the Yontif right away? Says the Bnei Sosra, because when the Yontif happened, they thought it was a one-time miracle. When the miracle happened, it was a one-time miracle. It was only the next year, the same day, that the Chachamim with their Ruach HaKodesh were able to feel that it's reoccurring. This is a reoccurring miracle. This is similar to Pesach and Shavuos that deserve a Yontif. So they establish a Yontif. The Gemara says that after the miracle of Purim, Esther sent a message to the Sanhedrin. And she said, Kavuni ledoris, I want to be established for all generations as a Yontif. Why didn't the Sanhedrin do this on their own? Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. Esther had Ruach HaKodesh. Esther knew immediately that this was an illumination that was going to be repeated annually. And therefore, she demanded from the Sanhedrin to establish this as a Yontif annually. So this, as we mentioned before, this illumination of being able to be Megala the Hester, to see godliness within nature, within all the sequence of events that happens in our days, that it reoccurs annually. In the crazy world that we live in, we should be able to see the light and see what's going on. And how the Rebbeinu Shlom is moving all the pawns, perhaps to bring about the Gula Shlom. That's why we say, both on Chanukah and on Purim, we say a bracha, she'asa nisim la'aviseinu, that Hashem performed miracles for our avos, b'yamim ahem, b'zman hazeh. In those days, in this time. Doesn't mean in those days and this date. It means in those days and it's reoccurring. It's happening again. Now as well. So the Ibn Yisrael explains that the original miracle is a mashpia. It's mashpia a light. Since it was the original miracle, it's the source of a flow. That every year is mekabel. Every year receives that light and reflects that light once again. To Klal Yisrael. This is what he said. This is what the pasuk tells us. Zecher also l'nifloisav. There's a pasuk that tells him. Zecher also l'nifloisav. Hashem makes a zecher to his miracles, right? Meaning that there's the original miracle, and then there's the zecher, the remembrance of the miracle that it reoccurs every single year. So the original miracle is the mashpia, and every year the miracle that reoccurs receives the shefa from the original miracle and is mashpia to Klal Yisrael. The says of Bnei Yisrael that Loshen Kodesh is a mashpia to Aramaic. The Loshen Kodesh is the original language, and all other languages receive from Loshen Kodesh. They're mekabel from Loshen Kodesh and are mashpia to whatever nation speaks that language. But Loshen Kodesh is the original language. So, the original miracle is called the Yeshua. That's the salvation. The original miracle is called the Yeshua, a salvation. All future years are called the Purkan. Because it's the Aramaic word for Yeshua, and it's Mekabel the Yeshua it receives the Or from the Yeshua. So that's why we say V'yala Purkan. We're thanking Hashem for not just for the Yeshua, for the original miracle, but V'yala Purkan, for the miracle that reoccurs every single year. That's why in the Nusach of An Chanukah, we say, Ula Amcho Yisrael Asisa Teshua Gedoyla. For your nation Yisrael, you have performed a great Yeshua, ufurkon kahayim azeh, and the Purkan for this day. So there's the original miracle, which is called Yeshua, and the Purkan is what happens nowadays. The Purkan is the feminine of the Yeshua, the Makabal of the Yeshua, that that reoccurs every single year. So if I may add on to this B'nai Yisachar, we find that when a person does an Aveira, Rachmana Litzlan, for the first time a person has an Nisayon, a terrible Nisayon, and the person can't withstand the Nisayon. It's very difficult. He tries to battle the Nisayon as much as he can. And he commits the Aveira. And the first time a person does the Aveira, it's hard for the person to do the Aveira, although he's very tempted to do so. And he does the Aveira reluctantly because he can't withstand the temptation. And the feelings of regret afterwards are intense feeling of regret. The next time the person has the temptation, though, the person feels that, you know what, I've done this already. I've filthied myself. My neshama is tainted already. It doesn't feel as bad as he did the first time. And the feelings of regret are not as strong as they were the first time. And the more the person does the Aveira, the more the feelings of the bad feelings dwindle. It's to the point that the Gemara says, Ava Vishana, the person does an Aveira and repeats it, Nasus like a heter, it almost becomes like it's permissible. The person becomes so ingrained in the chait that he doesn't even think twice about it. Now, the truth is that the second time the person did the Aveira really wasn't the second time. It was the first time. Because since he had regret feelings after, he had intense regret feelings after the first time he did the Aveira, that's tshuva. And tshuva erases a person's Averas. So the person didn't, it was really the first time again. But the person has a Yetzirah, and that's one of the tactics of the Yetzirah. Tactics of the Yetzirah is, you're tainted already, you're a bad guy anyway, what you're doing is not going to make a difference any, you're, so might as well just keep on doing it. That's the nature of the Yetzirah. Unlike the original nace, unlike the original miracle that is mashpia, similar miracles annually, it produces a zecher. It produces a zecher from heaven every year. That's real. This zecher of an avera is fake. It's not real. It's something that our Yetzirah is, it's an illusion the Yetzirah is creating for us so that we should continue doing the Aveira. But it's not a real Zecher. There's no real Zecher of the Aveira. I'd like to suggest that Zecher is called Zecher Amalek. There's the Amalek within us that tries to cool us off. Right, as Rashi says, Asher Korcha, the Amalek cools us off. We have a natural sensitivity against doing Averis. But, so the first time we did it, it fell through. Now Amalek comes back. We came out of Mitzrayim. Memta Shari Tumah. Zohar is Asher Asalach Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you? B'derech B'tzeizcha Mitzrayim. You were coming out of Mitzrayim. We came out of Mitzrayim with such regret for having fallen to such a low level. And we were marching towards Kabbalah Zatoyra. Came along Amalek and said, come on, you guys, you're such bad guys. Right? You're just a Memta Shari Tumah. What are you talking about Kabbalah Zatoyra for? Might as well just go right back to Memta Shari Tumah. You're never going to be able to get out of it anyway. Asher Korcha, he cools us off. He cools off that sensitivity that we're trying to regain. That Zecher is not coming from above the heavens like the Zecher that we have for miracles. That zecher is coming mitachas hashemayim. That zecher is coming from underneath the heavens. It's coming from Amalek. It's coming from the Yetzirah. And the pasuk tells us, Timche zecher Amalek. Erase that zecher Amalek. Why? Because it's coming mitachas hashemayim. It's not coming from above the heavens. It's not a koyach atumah it's not demons that are trying to control you from above the heavens. It's your Yetzirah. Get rid of it. It's not true. After you do tshuva, you're a new person. And that's why I believe we have Shabbos Zochar right before Purim. Before we can appreciate the Zecher also in Nifla Isav. Before we can appreciate the Zecher that we have for the miracles, the annual Zecher of Purim that we have, that comes from above the heavens, we have to first differentiate and get rid of the Zecher Amalek that's Mitachas Hashemayim. You have to get rid of that memory of that Zecher of Amalek, that remnant of Amalek that's from underneath the heavens. We have to realize that that's not coming from above the heavens. That's coming from within ourselves, and we have the ability to get rid of it. I was thinking perhaps another reason why we say Alapurkan in Aramaic based on Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says that we're supposed to read Shnayim Mikra Becha Targum on Erev Shabbos. We're supposed to read, right, two times the Pasuk and once the Targum. And we're supposed to specifically do it on Erev Shabbos. Why? Says, explains Chassam Sofer, because there is, in Tanya we find that there are three levels. There is Kedusha, there is Tumah, and then there is middle ground, this gray area. That gray area depends what we use it for. If a person can use gray area for a Kedusha, the person elevates it to Kedusha. If a person uses that gray area for no good reason, it descends to Tumah. That gray area is called Klipas Noiga. It's a light Klipa, and it can be elevated or demoted. Says the Chassam Sofer, Shabbos is Kedusha. Yemos HaChol, the days of the week, belongs to the side of Tumah. Erev Shabbos is the gray area. A person can use it to prepare for Shabbos. A person can even accept Shabbos early and make Friday into Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is the gray area. It's Klipas Noiga. Loshen Kodesh is Kedusha. Lashon HaAmim, all the languages of the nations, are Tumah. Aramaic is the gray area, is Klipas Noiga. The Neshamas of Yidden, Tzel Chassam Sofer, are Kedusha. The Nefesh of the nations of the world are Klipa. The neshama of potential Geirim are Klipas Noiga, the gray area. Maybe that's why they're called Geir, gray. So they can either convert and elevate themselves to Kedusha, or they can ignore their inclination to Kedusha and remain in Tumah. So it says in Chassam Sofer that on Erev Shabbos, one is supposed to read
Shnayim Mikrim Echad Targum, and not just any Targum. You can't do Targum Yerushalmi, and you can't do Targum Yonis and Menazil. You have to do Targum Onklus. Because Onklus was a ger. You have to do Targum Onklus of a ger on Targum of Onklus on Erev Shabbos. You bring the three Klipas Noiga together. The power of three is a Chutam Shulish Levim Heri Yanotek. It brings about tremendous kedusha. All the other yamim tovim that we have are total kedusha. That's why you're not allowed to do malacha on any yontif. Not Pesach, not Shavuos, not Sukkos. Any yontif is written in the Torah, you can't do a malacha. It's totally kedush. And then we have the rest of the days of the year, as some surface says, belong to Tuma. Chanukah and Purim are days that are mutar b'malacha, you're allowed to do malacha, yet the Chacham made them into a yontif. They are this concept of klipas noga, that we elevate, we take a regular mundane day and elevate it to Kedusha. So Chazal instituted to say, specifically in Aramaic, v'yala purkan, because these are days, only on these, we only say on this, on these 2 days, Chanukah and Purim, these two Yom Tovim, because they are days that are klipas noiga, that we're elevating to kedusha, similar to Targum. May we be zeichet to a tremendous Purim of being megala the Hester of everything in this world, and elevating klipas noiga to kedusha.